hard rock and heavy metal Tuesdays on TFRC 101.9 FM, Kingston, Ontario, Canadá. Stay heavy. Hablamos español.
You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. Vous écoutez au CFRC 101.9 FM.
Hey, ¿qué tal, chicos? Seguimos aquí en Rockum Radio Show. We now move into the third block of today's Rockum Radio Show. All right, through powerful new singles, reimagined classics, and fresh talent making their mark in 2025. We open with Hellstar and The Devil's Masquerade, the title track of their 11th studio album, out September 12 via Massacre Records. This brand new single released earlier this month shows James Rivera and company in top form. Dark, fast and epic. Hellstar regresa con fuerza, estrenando su nuevo álbum The Devil's Masquerade, algo así como La Mascarada del Diablo. Next up is Alcatraz with the 2025 re-recording of their legendary Jet to Jet, featuring Giles Lavery on vocals. This track is part of their upcoming release, Prior Convictions, 9 classic re-recording plus 2 brand new songs, out via the Canadian Brave Wars Records. It's a fresh take on the timeless anthem, un clásico regrabado listo para acompañar su próxima gira europea. We continue with Backlash and their debut single, Looking for a Stranger, released September 3rd. This song is the first taste of their coming album, Time to Impact, arriving on November 7 via Art of Melody Music and Burning Minds, a melodic hard rock punch of full of hooks and attitude. Primer adelanto del álbum debut de Time to Impact, lleno de melodía y potencia. In September 3, the 3rd, you know now. And to close this vlog, we have Blaze Sparrow with Cat Lady, the title track of their brand new EP released September 5. A modern rock piece that mixes sharp riff with quirky lyrical personality, unique, fun, and full of energy. Rock fresco y original para cerrar el bloque con Blair Sparrow from Canada, Canadian. Well, guys, you're listening to the Rockum Radio Show from Kingston, Ontario to the world here on the CFRC 101.9 FM, Kingston, Ontario again. Visit rockumweb.com and email us at editor@rockumweb.com and follow us on the social media. And as always say, keep on rocking and stay heavy.
Thank you. Hi, this is Gary Shea of Alcatraz, and you're listening to Rock'em Radio. Play it loud.
Rock'em Radio, your rock station.
Yeah.
Radio, your rock station.
Listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. Vous écoutez au CFRC 101.9 FM.
Hey, we continue here in the Rock Radio Show. We reach the final block of today's Rock Radio Show. And we're closing with something very special. We start with I Don't Serve Your and Eye of the War, freshly recorded from their new album Reforged Machine War, released this August. This record completes a Reforged trilogy featuring 16 record classics plus a Judas Priest cover, Starbreaker. Pete Silk and his band prove once again that their vision of power metal remains sharper than ever. Un regreso poderoso de Iron Savior con su nuevo disco Reforged Machine War. And now it's time for our exclusive interview with Pete Silk of Iron Savior. We talk about the making of Reforged Machine War, the process of breathing new life into song from the noise era, and what's next for the band. una entrevista exclusiva con Pete Seeger hablando sobre su nuevo álbum y la historia de Iron Saber. That is for today's episode of the Rock'n Radio Show. Thank you for joining us once again, and a big shout out to Pete Seeger for this exclusive conversation. Gracias a todos por acompañarnos en este episodio especial cargado de estrenos y una entrevista exclusiva. Recuerda que nos puedes visitar en www.rockunweb.com y escribirnos a editor@rockunweb.com y seguirnos en nuestras redes sociales. Ya sabes, remember you can visit us at rockunweb.com, write us to editor@rockunweb.com and follow us on our social media. And until next time, keep on rocking. See you the next week.
Hey everybody, this is Pete Seeger of Iron Saver and you're listening to Rock'n Radio.
Rock'n Radio, your rock station. Traveling the stars out of the cold, on the quest for your
Hey, everybody, this is Pete Seeger of Iron Saver, and you're listening to Rock'em Radio.
How are you doing today?
Well, today, looking out the window today, here in Hamburg, it's more autumn than the mid of the summer. The weather actually is pretty shitty, and I'm invited to a garden party later on, so could be better, but I wear a warm jacket and then I'll be fine, I guess.
Okay. Where are you joining us from right now?
I'm right here. I'm in my studio. This is my workplace, powerhouse.
This is Germany.
Yeah, this is Germany. This is where the magic is happening. This is where all the Iron Savior stuff is getting done.
Oh, beautiful guitars. I love that green one.
Actually, the green one is a pretty cheap one. It's a Harley Benton. But it's a very nice guitar. It's rather cheap.
Yeah, that's
that's a Flying V. Besides that, then we have the Solar LP, and I have a couple of other guitars. But the green one, actually, I can recommend it. It's a very good guitar. If you don't want to invest too much money, go check out Harley Benton. You can save a lot of bucks. I mean, this guitar is, I paid $500 for it, but it's if it would be, well, let's say, a big brand, it would be easily $1,000 or $1,500.
Beautiful color, huh? Beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. The finish is great. I love it.
Well, Machine World is finally out today. Congratulations.
Yes. Absolutely, yeah. Checking the internet, of course, getting some reactions from the fans, and so far, thumbs up, I'd say.
How does it feel to share this album with the fans at last?
Well, I mean, it's a special Reforged album because it's going to be the last one. The trilogy now is closed. There are no more Noise record songs left that could be put on a Reforged album. So, and since bringing back this Noise catalog to the fans was the main issue for those re-recordings that were happening on Reforged. It is a special moment that now this comes to an end, and I think I have to admit that I really think that this last Reforged album is, for me personally, it's the best of the three. Of course, the first one has all of the big stuff on it, you know, like Atlantis Falling, Riding on Fire, Watcher in the Sky. The second one also, I mean, all the big hits that wouldn't fit on the first one are on the second one. And on the last one, on this third album, it's the not so common songs, I'd say, that you find here. But since Iron Savior never has done any bad songs in almost 30 years band history, it's a great album full of great songs, and it was a great feeling to put my hands on that again, do a little twitching and twisting here, turn some knobs here and there. You know, finalizing things that maybe 30 years ago weren't possible, or I just wasn't able to do so. And yeah, I'm proud that today I can deliver a really fine piece of metal to the fans out there.
Well, that sounds great. Pete, what inspired you to close the Reforged trilogy in this third part now?
Well, as the answer is very as simple as easy. There are no songs left over from the Noise era.
Okay.
You know, the main idea, as I pointed out earlier, is that for all the re-recordings on all Reforged albums, we were to bring back the songs as physical. On physical to the fans, you know, as CDs or vinyl, because that was not possible. We don't have the rights for the original Noise record songs.
Yes.
We don't own these rights, and so therefore we cannot re-release, let's say, Unification or so. It's not possible.
Mm-hmm.
And since there are no physical copies anymore available from Unification, if you search the internet, of course you find some used one, but no freshly released or fresh pressed items are available. We decided in 2017 it was where we started out with the first Reforged album, that we want to re-record, to create new recordings of those songs where we own the right and can reissue them to the fans, you know?
Okay.
So that the fans are now, again, have the possibility to buy a physical product, you know? They can buy a CD with Riding on Fire on it. They can buy a CD with Watcher in the Sky on it, which was not possible before that. So that is the main issue for the Reforged trilogy. And now, with the third album, all songs from the Noise era, where we don't have legal control, are covered. So there's no need to re-record.
Got it.
Any further. So there will be no re-recording for, let's say, Heavy Metal Never Dies or whatever. Because we have full legal control about that. We can do whatever. We can re-record, but we can also remix or do whatever we want to, either because we have control of this. But for those songs, we didn't have control.
Oh my God. The thing of the rights is difficult sometimes, no?
Yes, it is. And sometimes it's hard to understand for the fans as well, because they think, some fans of course think, oh, it's just a way to make money again with something old. No, it's not. I mean, it's really the other way around. Because of course we do make some money with selling records, of course. I mean, I'm an artist, that's what I'm living from. A baker sells bread, and a musician sells music. So nothing wrong with that, I'd say. I prefer, honestly, to re-record songs in general, not only with Reforged, than to, well, just to manipulate, to remastering or stuff like that. Remastering, I mean, what is remastering? I mean, you put it a little bit more high and a little bit more low, and that's the mastering, you know? And it's basically the same. So, but, you know, digging into the ground or going back to the scratch, you know, maybe just like on Reforged, changing the arrangement, you know, and optimizing a song is a completely different challenge. And that's, as a musician and producer, is what I prefer.
Sure, sure. Did you only plan for three parts, or did that last one come later?
No, it was always planned to be like a trilogy, because, there were like, I know how many songs on this album from the Noise record era are, and mm-hmm. So it was an easy example of math to see how many albums we need to do that, you know. And So it was always clear that it will be three albums, and that's it.
Yes, you produce, mix, master it, and even design the artwork yourself. How personal did this album become for you?
Well, I mean, it's absolutely super personal. Also, I mean, going when I recorded the specific songs, I mean, all those songs, they come from specific times in my life, you know. And of course, I also like anybody else, I have memories connected to the songs. You know, what happened in what life situation I have been in, what emotional state I have been when I wrote that song or when I recorded this vocal, you know, the original vocals and stuff like that. And it was something like a time travel, you know, to revisit all this when reworking the songs here. And so, yeah, it's super personal, because I mean, every song I write, there's always a lot of Pete in there. I mean, also the music and especially also the lyrics. I mean, I necessarily don't tell everybody what I think about my lyrics, because I think it's great to have your own interpretation of what lyrics could mean to you, you know. So, but of course, I have a special idea for each song, what was moving me, what was the basic idea behind it, what was the state of mind I was in, how was my mood, was it a good mood, was it, did I face depression, or was I happy, or whatever, you know. So, the album is every Iron Savior album, very personal.
And was it more freedom or more pressure doing it all alone?
No, it was more. It's actually, I work pretty well when I'm on my own. Yeah, I mean, I know, but sometimes I really like to get some input, you know. But for this, I had a pretty good plan, you know, because all those songs were there already. It was not the question to create something entirely new. It was just the question to, you know, just to tweak something, to, you know, eliminate something that was not good and exchange it to something that now works better, or enhance everything a little bit. And but I'm here at the studio doing my studio magic. I do that usually alone, on my own. And so, yeah, it was basically done on my own.
Amazing. Is there any track that surprised you?
Yeah, absolutely. That was the track Eye of the World, taken from the original. It was original. It was on the Dark Assault album. Uh-huh. And I think in general the Dark Assault songs, they contributed or they benefit the most from the reforged thing. Yeah. Eye of the World, it's the first single, exactly. And I think the Dark Assault songs, they benefit the most from the reforged process, you know, because I never was happy with Dark Assault. When I did that, I was very much into this big drum sound with, you know, there was lots of room drum samples on the bass drum, and the drum is just huge, you know, with lots of reverbs and stuff like that, which I found cool when I was mixing the album. But already a year later, I wasn't happy with that, because it was it is working in a way, you know, but I didn't like it anymore. And so ever since, I was not so happy with Dark Assault. And so over the time, you know, now having the chance to rework all these Dark Assault songs was great. Now coming back to Eye of the World, this was the only and very only song, I have to admit, for Iron Savior. When I released it, I wasn't sure about it. It was the only song where I said, maybe it's a so-called album song, you know, a song that it's not good enough to stand on its own. It needs an album around it so that it works, you know. So you could call it a filler, you know, because the song wasn't really working for me, you know. It's not a bad song, but somehow it never kicked in. And at the time I could not figure out why, and I gave up on it, and I said, okay, it's on the album now. Fuck on it. And now, almost 30 years later, I found out what it is. It's the drum arranged, and it's the arrangement. It's not the song itself. The melodies are great on it. The riff is cool and everything, but the way it is arranged was not good. And that turned a good song into a good song that it's not working out. And I think now the new version of Eye of the World really is a killer song, I have to admit. I love Eye of the World. It's one of my favorite songs from the Reforged now. And so that is something really amazing. A song, you know, that was originally for me a filler, now made it to be the first single for this one. That's something, that's a good development for this song, I'd say.
And well, I like the album. I listened to all and this is really good. Another question is, Machine War was almost the title of Battle of Ram, right?
Yeah.
2004. What does it mean to finally give it center stage after 20 years later?
Oh yeah, that was a good feeling actually, because in the beginning when I was starting out with Reforged number 3, the basic idea, the first idea was to name the album Never Say Die. Mm-hmm. Because Never Say Die also is a great track, and it sounded to me like a good album track, like a good album title as well. Never Say Die also would have worked pretty nice. But when I started the recording process, and when I came back to this to the battering Ram songs like Time Will Tell, Machine World, and Wings of Deliverance, you know. I was blown away again from this epic storyline that I created with Battering Ram, with this machine mind living in solitude for a million years underneath the desert, contemplating about reality, you know. And so I thought, I'm getting goosebumps again. So I thought, wow, yeah, it's the story is so epic, and Machine World now needs to be the title of this last Reforged album. And I think it was a brilliant idea. I love the title.
Yes. Iron Saver has always explored science fiction. How do you Machine War and Contortion of Time reflect that universe today?
Well, I mean, Contortions of Time is from it's taken from the Interlude album, which was a hybrid album mixed. It was half studio recordings and the other half was live recordings. People didn't get that album too much. For one, it was, but anyways, it was taken from that album, and it also has a little storyline along with that. Actually, the storyline that leads to Dark Assault, and but it's not connected to Machine World. Machine World is a different storyline. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, in general speaking, I love science fiction, of course, and I love having storylines to go along with Iron Savior albums. but those two songs are not connected with each other. The only thing is that they are all science fiction and they all play in the Iron Savior universe, so to speak, you know.
And Pierre, do you see them as stories or metaphor for real life?
Both. I see them as stories, like action movies, or, you know, but it's also that. But, you know, as a singer, I always have to interpret my lyrics, you know, so I cannot sing just crappy lyrics with stupid lines, you know, that with great sounding words which without meaning. That's not possible for me, you know. So so I always, when I write a lyric, if it's about science fiction or real life, it actually doesn't matter, it always reflects my mood, my feelings, my emotions. So it's both, you know. It's telling a story, but it's telling a story through my eyes, you know, and how little Pete sees and feels the world.
Okay. Songs like Stone Cold or Time Will Tell touch on loneliness and survival, right?
Oh yeah, of course, sure.
How important is it for you to balance epic S5 with personal emotions?
Super important. I mean, at the beginning, when I started out with Iron Savior, the focus was more on, you know, telling the story, you know, and like creating an action movie or an epic science fiction adventure, you know. But now, I mean, I'm 60 years old now, and I have gained some life experience. With 60 years, I mean, I have experience. I saw a lot in life. I saw good things. I saw bad things, you know, and of course those things evolved me as a person. I'm not the same Pete that I was 30 years ago, you know. And so when I write lyrics today, I go more for the emotional side, you know. I focus more on the feelings, and I mean, solitude and loneliness is always something that that is tempting me, but also happiness and love is also, I mean, it's big emotions, you know. So for me, emotion is nowadays more important than the story, I have to admit.
Okay. You include a cover of Judas Priest's Stormbreaker. Why this track, and how did you make it sound like Iron Savior?
Well, I mean, it sounds like Iron Savior because I sing it. whenever I sing something, it sounds like Iron Savior. I have a very specific voice, and if you know Iron Savior and if you know my voice, you recognize it right away. Ah, it's Pete. It's a good thing, but it also can be a bad thing. You have to decide for yourself, you know. But I think that is one reason why Starbreaker performed by me sounds like Iron Savior and not like Priest. And why Starbreaker? It was something that was on my to-do list, you know. I had this idea many years ago because I always liked Starbreaker, the original one from the Sin After Sin album. I think it's one of the... It's not so common, you know. I mean, the tracks you have in mind, of course, are Sin After Sin, Sinner, you know, and I think what else is on the Desolate Aggressor and all that kind of stuff, but not necessarily Starbreaker. But I always loved this this chorus line, Starbreaker riding from the sky. I love that. I think the melody is great, and
I love it
and
too.
Also in the end when he gets when Rob really goes into this super high pitch, that was a challenge for me if I can somehow do it. And I think I managed a little bit at least.
Pete, beyond the music, you also create the album's artwork. What do you want to capture visually with Machine War?
Well, I mean, nowadays, of course, I have to admit, of course, it's not that I sit down and I draw something, you know. I'm not an artist. I'm not a painter, you know. I'm a creator. I have ideas, and I can use tools, you know, to get to a result that fits my needs. And that happened with that was, and of course nowadays, of course I'm using AI, of course, you know. I'm not drawing these pictures myself, but it's a matter of how you feed AI. And I have a very clear mind about how this machine world is supposed to look. It's a desert planet. It's a planet, you know, where somewhere in the Andromeda Nebula. It's basically inhabited by machines. There are ruins of an old destroyed civilization, and so on and so forth, you know. And having that in mind, I was able to create this, you know. Of course. And then besides that, I have some graphic knowledge, you know. I can handle Photoshop and stuff like that. And of course, AI didn't spit out this way, you know. But it put out the general things, so to speak, the general items, you know. And then I created them and assorted them, put them together, did a little bit something here, a little something there, put in a nebula there, you know, and stuff like that. Put in the planet and everything, you know. Just like another art designer also would do that. But I don't want this to become a full-time job, but for Iron Savior, it was fun doing it. And I might do it again, but I might also ask somebody else next time to do it.
Okay. Iron Savior is close to 30 years old.
Yeah.
Looking back at the 1997 debut in today's Reforged Machine War, what has changed the most and what has stayed the same?
I mean, I think the basic idea of Iron Savior has pretty much stayed the same. I mean, it sounds, I don't want it to sound arrogant, but to be misunderstood, but Iron Savior for me is the top notch. This is the way I, Pete, see heavy metal. If I would see heavy metal differently than Iron Savior, then I would be doing something wrong with Iron Savior. So for me, Iron Savior is the 100 definition of my personal heavy metal taste, you know. And of course that hasn't changed. And so maybe because my taste about metal has not changed too much in the last 30 years, also Iron Savior didn't change too much, you know. I have a specific idea about how songwriting should be done, how the guitars should sound, how the drum has to pound and everything, you know. I have that in my mind, and I always, of course, I evolve. Of course, I'm not standing still, you know, because standing still is going backwards. Because I evolve with the time, and if you listen to the latest production, it sounds different than on the debut album, of course. But I think the main attitude, what I want to do, that is always the same. It's only now that I have more knowledge and better tools than 30 years ago.
So, would you say that original spirit is still alive?
Oh, yes, of course. I mean, yeah. I mean, the original recordings and the original, the first years, and I mean, every period in Iron Savior is important to me. There are more important periods, like the, let's say, the first years when everything was starting out, the debut album and the unification album, but another very, 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 very super important album for Iron Savior was The Landing. You know, after it was something like a comeback album for us, and also another very important album I have to name is the last one, Firestar, which was released only a couple of days after my cancer surgery. So that's also a very, very important album for me. Yeah.
Okay. Are you feeling good now?
Yeah, I feel good now. Yeah.
This summer, you already played shows in Germany, like Kubana, Seeking High Rock, Dacia Open Air. How was it reconnecting with fans at home?
Oh, it's great. I mean, we also love, of course, to play in front of international fans, but of course, it's something different if you can talk to the people in your mother language, you know. Of course, I do speak English quite well, but I mean, if, for example, if we go to Spain or to Italy, not necessarily everybody who comes to Iron Savior shows speaks perfect English, you know. So it's always there's always a little language barrier, and that of course you don't have in your own country. So, well, you can make jokes and stuff like that, and everybody will understand. Well, not everybody, but most of the people will understand the jokes, and you can play game of words and stuff like that. You know, that is also we do that in English as well, but not necessarily everybody picks it up, you know. So playing in front of German audience and speaking in our mother language, of course, makes this easier, you know.
Of course. How does it feel to present these remaining songs live compared to when you first played them 20 years ago?
Well, I mean, when I think now. Let's say, put it differently. I always liked to perform live, but 30 years ago, it was always a struggle for me, you know, because I was young and wired and I was screaming like hell, you know, and after 30 minutes, and I had no technique at all, and after 30 minutes, all my power was gone already, and I was really fighting my way through the rest of the gig, you know, and nowadays I have no problem in singing 90 minutes and do it the next day and then the day after again and again and again. I have evolved pretty much as a vocalist, and that of course makes me feel a lot more comfortable on stage, because you can imagine if you have the feeling, oh God, I can't sing anymore, you don't feel very good, you know, and you look at the watch, oh man, it's still 45 minutes left and I can't breathe. Now, and of course, these days I also get, I sweat, you know, and it's also, it's also work for me to do that on stage, but I have a far better technique these days, and that's why I usually have no problems in performing 90 minutes pretty good, I would say. And that makes me feel very, very comfortable on stage, and I even perform live better and like it better than 30 years ago.
Today's concerts are very different with the streaming and young fans discovering the band for the first time. How do you see the new connection in 2025?
Streaming, let's put it like this. If the streaming, if Spotify and co. would pay artists adequately, then streaming would be a good thing, you know? But like this, without, because you barely get paid. I mean, it's a joke what you earn for streaming. It's only the streaming platforms that make really money with streams, not the artists. And for bigger artists, it might be no problem because they sell enough records. So for them, it's something like a promotional tool, or so that they get known or whatever. or they get so many streams that in the end it's still enough for them. But you know, but for regular artists, the streaming is a good thing, but it has changed the market completely. You know, because 15 years ago, you had to go to a record store and buy a record or a CD. You know, and these days you can just you can just open Spotify, and you can open this not even premium Spotify. The pay for that is even lower than on regular Spotify, and the only person who does not benefit from it is the creator and the artist, because that is something that. That I don't like. I like the idea that music is available like this. That's fine, but I think the pricing is totally unfair.
Most musicians complain about that. Exactly, that's the income.
The problem is that, for example, what options would I have? I am Pizzi. I am compared to other artists. I'm a small heavy metal artist. If I withdraw my stuff from Spotify, Spotify doesn't care, you know. So there's there's really nothing I can do about it, you know. I can only hurt myself if I withdraw my stuff from Spotify. So that's why in the end I don't do it, and that is in the end why most of the artists are not doing it. You know, they rather howl with the wolves instead. You know, and it's better the devil you know than nothing or whatever. So the problem is that there is no, let's say, union or so. You know, there is nothing that artists can do against this. Big player, Spotify or what else, you know. Coming back to your initial question, of course, not necessarily Spotify, but of course social media is a good way to connect with fans worldwide. You know, that of course, when going back like 20 years or so, was not possible. Without Facebook, it was not possible to have a communication or a small little chat with somebody from Chile or whatever, or Tibet or Japan, or whatever, you know. It's a good thing. I love it. I mean, there's lots of bad stuff you can say about Facebook, and there's really a lot of stuff I hate about Facebook. But in the end, I think it's a good tool to communicate and to stay in contact and experience metal together.
Exactly. Pete, if someone has never heard Iron Saver, which track from this album should they start with, and why?
Well, they should grab the last one, Firestar. They should grab The Landing and The Unification album. I think with those three albums, you cover pretty much what Iron Saver is all about.
Wow. And finally, what message would you like to give to the Rockum audience and the fans around the world tuning in today?
Well, I mean, I mentioned my cancer, which I had 2 years ago, and I really wanted to use the opportunity again to thank all the fans, because I made it public on Facebook. We just talked about that. That was a good thing. I was talking openly about it, and it was incredible how much, good vibrations and how much positive energy I have been receiving through the fans. It cannot be said often enough, it really helped me to overcome this. You know, it really gave me energy, and it really made me feel good. So therefore, that's probably also one reason why I'm sitting here talking with you.